We do want to see and hear as a validation of what has been told us, that is, see in reality what has been told us in books and by the testimony of others. If we're involved in chemistry and we've been told certain things in books, we want to run the experiments and see for ourselves that what is said in the book is in fact a reality. And it would be the same in physics. It would be the same in other fields. And it's the same in Christianity. It's the same with the story which is before us in our text. The angel of the Lord appeared to shepherds on the hillside and explained to the shepherds that the Christ had been born. The angel also gave to the shepherds a sign, something that they could see to validate the message. And so, it was only logical that they should enter into a search to find out if, in fact, the message is true by validating that message by looking for that sign, the evidence that the message was in fact true. And that's what our text is about this morning. And when we validate in our own lives the message that is spoken in the gospel, it builds our faith, it engenders assurance, and it brings others to faith in Jesus Christ. And that, in part, is what our text is about this morning also. And so at the head of the outline, I've got this statement that we're working on. Seeing God at work in our personal lives and in our world to confirm His Word causes growth in our faith and assurance. And surely this is the case. Having heard the message, what do the shepherds do? Verses 15 and 16 in our text of Luke chapter 2. When the angels had gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds began saying to one another, "Let us go straight to Bethlehem then and see this thing that has happened which the Lord has made known to us." So they came in a hurry and found their way to Mary and Joseph and the baby as he lay in the manger. Now we would find it a little bit strange, would we not, that the shepherds, if they had heard this message, would have said, "Oh, that's nice," and gone on with their work that evening. I think we would have found that a little bit strange. They responded, as we would think, "Let's find out what these messengers from heaven have told us. Let's examine what they have said, and let's go and see ourselves. Let us see with our own eyes this babe which the angel from heaven has announced has just been born." And so they go to Bethlehem. And the text tells us that they hurried off to the hamlet and found their way to Mary. The word here indicates that they found their way after some searching. And you can imagine that they did have to do some searching. It wasn't an altogether easy task. I've had it in our little community that someone's come to the office and said, "Now, how do I find the clock shop, or where is the city hall, or such and such?" They're on a search. And it is perhaps that these shepherds went to the local inn, and there being a teeming multitude of people in the city, we have to remember that that's the case, that people from all over the empire had come to Bethlehem and were going to other cities and locations to register, as was the decree of Caesar Augustus. And so there was a multitude of people, a mill of people. And it could be that they checked in at the local inn. Has anyone registered who was expecting a baby or that has a young child? No, no one here. In fact, we've had the no vacancy sign out for some time, and there's no one like that around here. Now what do the shepherds do? They continue their search. And you recall we talked a little bit about the fact that the inn was likely two stories built around a courtyard. The upper floor, rooms. Upper rooms, guest rooms. The lower floor, stables. And it could be that the inn was built up against a cave. Once going around the rooms inquiring, now below inquiring, searching, and looking for this family with a child. And in the meantime, telling the story of what they had witnessed on the hillside, the angel announcing from heaven that in the city of David, a Savior was born. And the army of angels confirming the message with that heavenly chorus. And so the shepherds repeating the story and searching for this family, this young family. And our text says, so they came in a hurry and found their way to Mary and Joseph. And the baby, as he lay in a manger in the feeding trough. Well, that's a little unusual too, isn't it? And as I pondered this, isn't it the case that the baby in this feeding trough has become the international symbol of the birth of Jesus Christ? Years ago when I was in Korea and Christmas came along, out came the manger scenes by all the Koreans. When I was in Vietnam and Christmas came along, out came all the manger scenes. And there they were, that symbol, that sign. And this is exactly what the shepherds found. Our text goes on in verse 17. When they had seen this, they made known the statement which had been told them about this child. And you can imagine them coming upon Mary and Joseph and the child in this scene, in the stable, perhaps in this cave. And they explain to Mary and Joseph. And Mary and Joseph are not alone there. But there is a horde of people around, present. And they explain to them again what had taken place. And they bear witness to the fact that the angel had said that they should find in Bethlehem this baby wrapped in cloths, in strips of cloths, and in this feeding trough. And lo, they had found this babe, just as the angel had said. And what did the angel say about this child? That this child is none other than the long-awaited Messiah, the Christ who is Lord. And those of you who were here last week remember that we worked over that idea of the lordship of Christ. That this child born was one to be worshipped because He was and is the King of glory. And it was to poor shepherds that the announcement was made. And it was these poor shepherds who then announced to Mary and Joseph and to others in that circumstance what they had seen and who they were told this child was. Imagine the reaction of Mary and Joseph. Imagine Joseph hearkening back to the message of the angel who had come to him and said, "Don't be afraid to take Mary as your wife, because the child in her has been conceived of the Holy Ghost. And you will call his name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." And imagine the thoughts of Mary as she hearkens back also to the visitation of the angel saying to her, as she asked the question, "How will these things be?" And the angel saying to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. And that thing which is conceived in your womb is most holy, the Holy One of God. And here come these shepherds confirming those words, those earlier words." What else does our text tell us? Verse 18. "And all who heard it wondered at the things which they were told by the shepherds. They were in awe and amazement." And the word which is translated "wondered" is actually the word "they were amazed and astonished." They were in utter awe of what had taken place and what the shepherds had told them. And so here we have a circumstance in which the shepherds bear witness to what they have been told and what God has done, and others who hear their message and see with their eyes this babe in a manger are in wonder and awe and struck by God with amazement. I submit to you that this very often is and ought to be the result of the witness of the people of God to what God has done. That men and women are struck with wonder. If this is really to be the case, folks, if this really is to be the case, I submit to you that we need to realize in greater depth and breadth the significance of the message with which we have been entrusted, and the power of the message with which we have been entrusted. The Apostle Paul says at the beginning of his book to the Romans, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation." It is the power of God. It is the power of God to utterly change and transform human lives. The text tells us that those who heard the witness and the testimony of the shepherds were utterly amazed and awestruck. Now, I take it that there's a little bit more significance here to saying when a basketball player slam dunks that ball in that hoop, and we respond, "That's awesome." I take it that there is a little bit more significance here in this story and in what takes place in the mighty God condescending to come into the world as the babe in Bethlehem in order to utterly change the lives of others. I take it that there's a little bit more significance in that story. Wouldn't you think there would be? And wouldn't you think that if the angels of heaven are lauding the great God of all because of what He has done, that those in Bethlehem also would be amazed, and that there would be faith engendered in their hearts concerning the Savior. Verse 19. But Mary treasured all these things, pondering them in her heart. What was the response of Mary? The text might read, "And Mary." So there's not that much of an adversative there, not that much of a comparison there. "And Mary." "And Mary pondered all these things in her heart." Treasured them. And I'm sure she did treasure them. What mother does not treasure certain indications concerning the special gifts of her child? We do. We all do. And when these extraordinary messages come from heaven through the shepherds to Mary and Joseph, I am sure that she did treasure them. And that her heart and her inclinations were not on this earth. You know, a lot of mothers would be saying, "I got to get my baby out of this circumstance. This is no place for us to be at this particular time." That does not seem to be the care at the moment. But rather, affixed in heaven, the heart of Mary treasures the words of these shepherds and ponders them. The word "ponder" here is the word from which we get our word "symbol." You know, not clanging cymbals, but the idea of symbolic things. The temple in the Old Testament was full of symbolism. And words are really symbols. The word "God" is not God, but represents that divine being in our thoughts and minds. And so Mary takes these things, and as we would do with symbolic language, ponder that language and work it over to try and discover what the meanings and implications of that symbolic language really are, Mary was pondering these things. What does it all mean? Where is it all going? What is this child to do? And wouldn't it be the case that the faith of this young lady and the faith of Joseph leapt forward as they heard the words of the shepherd and the confirmations of earlier messages? Yes, God is with us, and this child is indeed an extraordinary one, the Savior of all. Verse 20. The shepherds went back, glorifying and praising God for all that they had heard and seen, just as had been told them. You remember we talked about the fact that God gave the sign. The shepherds didn't say, "Now, Lord, if this message is true, and we find a baby in a cave laying in a feeding trough, and there are two donkeys and one colt there and a couple of rabbits, we'll be assured that this is actually the Christ child." No, that wasn't their approach to it at all. It was the angel who gave the sign. And they responded by ascertaining with their own eyes the validity of the words, by seeking out that which God had promised and said, and they saw it. And that was good enough for them. And I can imagine those shepherds saying, "Praise be unto God." There was no hesitation in their hearts in saying, "The Lord has announced the arrival of this child, and that this child is the Messiah. He is Christ the Lord." And they, in their own hearts, erupted in praise before God. And it had to be that when they drew back from that inn, from that stable, from that scene, and went back to the hillside where they found their sheep once again, that their hearts were full of praise before God, and that they were glorifying God and singing in response to the angelic visitation and singing in response to what they had seen. The shepherds went back glorifying and praising God for all that they had heard and seen, just as had been told them. And was assurance built into their hearts? I don't see how it could be any other way. I really don't. And so, as I tried to say in the outline, there were three basic outcomes to the witness of the shepherds. The first result was that the people in amazement had faith engendered in their hearts. The second result was that the shepherds telling Mary had her faith built and confirmed. And the third result was that the shepherds themselves had great assurance come into their own hearts, and their own faith was increased. And here it seems to me that we see the great God of all lay before us a very simple pattern in this extraordinary story, that when confirmation of the Word of God by the works of God is given, our faith is increased. Assurance is built into our lives, and others come to faith in Jesus Christ. Years ago, when a chaplain related the gospel of Christ to me for the first time, I heard it. I hadn't heard it with my ears that time for the first time, but I really heard it for the first time on that occasion. A few days later, that chaplain took me out to a home where servicemen gathered. And this was in Seoul, Korea. And we were in a little meeting and singing and praying. And so this chaplain turns around to me and he says, "Denny, I want you to stand up and talk to them about what's taking place in your life." And I gulped. And I, for the first time, had to make a public confession concerning faith in Jesus Christ and what had transpired in my life when I received cleansing from sin and cleansing from the guilt of sin, and my life was utterly changed. I had to testify concerning that change. And that act of bearing witness affected my life further. And that's exactly what happens to us. That's exactly what happened to the shepherds. We often talk about the fact that God changes lives and that Jesus Christ came into the world for that purpose. Does He do that or not? This week, in reading the Hutchinson News, struck me so forcibly an article about a family who lost a son in the shooting incident at Columbine High School. And it was their first Christmas without that son, a teenage boy. Now, how do you bear up under those things? There's only one way that a person can truly bear up under that sorrow. It's through Jesus Christ. And how Jesus Christ affects the human heart. How He does that. He does change lives. And men and women like us need to bear witness to the truth of the gospel and the power of the gospel and the grace of the gospel. And we need to exemplify that work of God because He does change lives. And that's one of the reasons that our Lord Jesus Christ came into the world. And when the Word of God is confirmed by the work of God in the lives of human beings, there is faith engendered, and there is faith built, and there is assurance which is given. And dear friends in Christ, that's one of the reasons we come together week by week to see that very kind of thing take place, to see God at work, doing His thing in our lives. May God give us grace not only to celebrate the wonders of the work of God in sending Jesus Christ, but to realize that we are ones who ought more fully to bear witness to the goodness of God in Christ, and to bear witness to the fact that God does, even in this present day, confirm His Word by His gracious work. May God give us understanding in this. Let's pray together. Father, give us Your Spirit. Enlighten our minds. May we see this story in a new way and in new light. And may our faith be built. May You give us assurance as You work through Jesus Christ in our day to confirm Your Word. Bless us to this end, we ask, in the great name of Jesus the Savior. Amen.